Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. What if you build a giant boat but nobody wants it? The New York Times writes about Prime Minister Boris Johnson's latest pet project, a replacement for the Royal Yacht Britannia, mothballed in 1997. Mr. Johnson wants to spend £200 million, or $280 million US dollars, to build a new Britannia, not as a plaything for the royal family, which has evinced no interest in another yacht, but as a floating brand ambassador for post-Brexit Britain. The Times observes, while Queen Elizabeth II famously wiped away a tear when she attended the yacht's decommissioning ceremony, the royal family has been resolutely silent about replacing it. Speaking of boats, during last week's trip to Scotland, William met the team building HMS Glasgow on the banks of the River Clyde and announced that his wife Kate had recently become the sponsor of the Royal Navy frigate and will officially name her. William said, "It's a real honour to see the Navy's incredible new Type 26 ships under construction. This scale of achievement is truly staggering, and all the staff I've met here today are rightly proud of what you are doing. Proud not just because you are creating these cutting-edge ships, but because you are supporting the Royal Navy and the national security of the United Kingdom. My family's affection for the Royal Navy is well known, and as I saw the work taking place here today, I was thinking of my grandfather, the Duke of Edinburgh. He would have been fascinated and excited to see such advances in skills and technology being put into practice. Her Majesty the Queen has approved the appointment of my wife, Catherine, as sponsor of the superb ship we see taking shape outside HMS Glasgow. I know that Catherine will be delighted to join you here in Glasgow for the naming ceremony in due course." And now for something completely different. The Mirror reports Prince Charles was quizzed by police over claims he plotted to kill Diana. Lord Stevens reportedly said that the police launched a probe after a note written by Diana was found where she predicted she would die in a car crash. The police chief said he had to question Charles over Diana's claim that she would be killed through brake failure and serious head injury so Charles could marry Tiggy Leg Bourke, William and Harry's former nanny. Charles was spoken to as a witness, not as a suspect. On December 6, 2005, as part of a three-year investigation, the Prince of Wales said he did not know why Diana had written the letter, it is reported. Palace Intrigue will be right back. Town and Country writes, one of the most exciting parts about the arrival of a new royal baby is the name reveal. The royal family has a long and proud tradition of choosing names that are historically significant to the lineage. Zara Tyndall, the Queen's granddaughter, shared a fun story about how she chose her youngest daughter's name and the hilarious reason why she had to rethink her first choice. "I like the name Elena," Zara said, "but I didn't want her initials to be E.T., so she's Lena." Lena's full name is Lena Elizabeth Tyndall, her middle name, of course, being a tribute to the Queen. The tradition of using Elizabeth as a middle name has been popular throughout several generations of the family. The Queen herself gave Princess Anne, her only daughter, that middle name when she was born in 1950. Since then, three of the Queen's four granddaughters have also been given Elizabeth as a middle name. Zara Anne Elizabeth Tyndall, Princess Beatrice Elizabeth Mary, and Lady Louise Alice Elizabeth Mary Mountbatten Windsor. Lilibet, though, is the first royal baby to boast the Queen's childhood nickname. And royal biographer Angela Levin joins your favourite podcast in pointing out the lack of activity on Harry and Meghan's Spotify feed, which he called boring. Levin said, "They, Meghan and Harry, don't want to pay anything. They want to get the money rolling in with very little in return, and that's been shown with Spotify. In The Express, an article wonders if Netflix will regret their deal." Chief media analyst and president of Variety Intelligence Platform, Andrew Wallenstein, looked at whether Heart of Invictus would actually be the kind of content Netflix was after when it was first agreed to a deal with the Sussexes. He said, "Archibald Productions' Heart of Invictus does not remotely sound like what their tabloid-driven audience wants. The content in question seems more like an exercise in their image rehabilitation funded by Netflix. The value Harry and Meghan will probably most bring comes to making themselves available for interviews to publicize the content that bears their imprimatur. Maybe this is all of negligible concern for Netflix, where $100 million isn't really that much money. But the time will come when subscriber numbers take a dip for a quarter or two and hard questions are asked about the content investments. Rest assured, this deal will be on the list of what gets second guessed." And there you have it. Please follow us on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Palace Intrigue and good times.